Hopefully you remember that we're working our way through the Lord's Prayer. Again, I thought it might be a good time as we're in this lockdown time to just focus on this prayer as a way to give structure to our personal prayers at home. And again, this is a prayer that you can pray if you pray it slowly. It's about 20 seconds. You can wash your hands with it. Or if you're a little faster, maybe twice, get your hands nice and clean that way. We've started with talking about God as our Father and about His name being glorified in all the earth. We've spoken of the coming of God's kingdom, the kingdom that opposes empire and is so different from how the empire works and what it produces. The kingdom that's working toward the reconciliation of all things, toward shalom, justice, and righteousness. And our call to give our allegiance to that king and to that kingdom and devote ourselves to being God's instruments of peace in our world. And then you remember last week we talked about your will be done. And what we meant by that is not that we resign ourselves to God's will. No, we're not resigning ourselves to doing what God wants. We're giving our will gladly over to His. We are ending up wanting the same thing that God wants. Today we're moving on to give us this day our daily bread, a very familiar one, I'm sure, to all of us listening. The disciples of Jesus who heard him utter these words, pray this part of the prayer, would really only have thought of one thing, I'm guessing. And any Israelite worth his or her salt would only have thought of one thing when they heard or prayed this prayer. And that is the story of the manna in the wilderness after Israel was liberated from slavery in Egypt. Any Jew in the time of Jesus, when they talked about heard bread, especially placed in a religious setting, would have brought them instantly back to the time of the Exodus and the wanderings in the wilderness. And so that's the story that we'd like to read for you this morning. Laurel, you're on. Yes, Laurel's on. She's going to read for us from the ESV, Exodus chapter 16, the verses 1 to 18, and the text will appear also on your screen.
Hope you all can hear me.
Yes, we can hear you fine.
Righty. So it's Exodus chapter 16, 1 through, 18. We can read till 16. They set out from Elam, and all the congregation of the people of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elam and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had departed from the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full? For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I'm about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in the law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So Moses and Aaron said to all people of Israel, "At evening, you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning, you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling, that you grumble against him, what are we? Your grumble is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, Say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling. And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in a cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat. In the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God. In the evening, quail came up over the camp, and in the morning dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, as like frost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, what is it? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, it is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather of it, each of you, as much as you can eat. You shall each take an omer according to the number of persons that each of you has in his tent.
Would you please read 7 and 18, Laurel? Thank you. There was probably a miscommunication somewhere. If you'd read 17 and 18, that would be great.
No, not at all. And the people of Israel did so. They gathered some more, some less, but when they measured it with an omer, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. Each of them gathered as much as they could eat. That's it.
Thank you. So we're now on the 15th day of the second month after Israel had left Egypt, and they're in the wilderness, and it's a pretty barren place, and things were pretty tough. Food was not easy, if impossible to come by, as the environment was desolate. They were traveling with all their families and all their possessions, and likely the stores of food that they had brought with them, because it was expected to be a journey of 4 to 5 weeks, the stores of food that they had brought with them were very likely getting depleted, and they were starting to panic. And again, just a side note, not that any of us are actually panicking, but we're going into stores and we're seeing empty shelves and the things we want. I heard someone this week who was looking for cinnamon and couldn't find it anywhere. The things we want aren't there. And they grumbled. They grumbled against Moses and Aaron. It would be better to die in Egypt, they said, in slavery. But at least we had enough bread and meat. We were filled. Our stomachs were full. And you have brought us out here to kill us with hunger. It really would have been better if we had stayed back in Egypt. And the first comment of application I'd like to make is this. Egypt, and in the Bible, Egypt is empire, always looks attractive. The ways of the world always have their appeal. The Apostle John put it this way in his first letter. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. We love power. Using it, for most of us, the power of privilege to get what we want. We love being able to make and spend money and get nice things. We live a gluttonous life focused on the pleasures of food and drink. We live a life, and we're in a culture and a society surrounded by the pleasures of sensuality, the desires of the eyes. We live a life of pride. We claim to be exceptional. We want to be first and to put ourselves first. And we will crush anyone or anything that desires to challenge us. We glory in that pride. We glory in that power. We glory in using it. We glory in our wealth. And sometimes we even call it patriotism. Now, don't misunderstand me. We're not saying that the creation as God has made it is bad. We're not saying that the enjoyment of life is a bad thing. God made the creation good, and he called it good, and he placed us in it in order to enjoy it to its fullest. That's what we should be doing, and that's where we will be going. But when we're using power, and when we're using lust, and when we're using our appetites, and when we're using our pride to oppress and to be selfish, and to use power in ways that the Bible just doesn't give us as the way of the kingdom, we're belonging to empire. And perhaps one of the lessons of this virus and this lockdown is for us to evaluate our commitment to the empire of the world. If you are complaining, why is that? Would you really rather be back in the empire in all the ways that it was 2 months ago? Now that some of the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of the heart, the pride of life have been taken from us, what will we learn about which kingdom has our allegiance? But then notice what God does when the people complain to him. I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel, God says. I have heard it. He hears it. He gets it. And with no judgment, there's not a word of judgment here. There's not a word of punishment. God just says, you know, I know you need this. This evening, there's going to be meat. And tomorrow morning, you will have bread. And so in the evening, the quail came and covered the camp, and they had meat. And in the morning, there lay the manna, the bread for the day, provided equally to everyone. Whoever gathered much, why in the world would you gather much? Why would you hoard? He didn't have anything over. And whoever gathered little, why would you gather little? Maybe you couldn't gather. Maybe you were ill or crippled or didn't have whatever it took to get what you needed. He who couldn't get what he needed had no lack. And God gave his gifts of food and drink to everyone equally, bread for the day, even in the wilderness, in that desolate place, provided from heaven by God. No need for the power of empire. No need for violence. No need to oppress or trample anyone else. No need to be selfish. No need to gather too much in a panic. No need to worry about your inherent weaknesses. There will be enough for everyone, even you, even us, and right now in this time of COVID-19. So I want to give you this very personal encouragement this morning. Bread for the day, the health that you need, the financial provision, the food that you need, the supplies you need, the job you need, the people you love and their well-being. God is providing that for us every day. And I realize that that could sound a little bit hollow if, let's imagine that today you were actually sick with COVID-19. Or that could sound a little hollow if you had actually lost someone. It could sound a little hollow if you actually didn't have enough money coming in. It could sound a little hollow if you didn't have a job. It could sound a little hollow if you couldn't hug the people that you love, family members, children, grandchildren, parents. And that, of course, is the tension upon which we live. And the only thing I can say to that is what the Bible says, and that is that nothing will separate you from the love of Christ ever. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And in the final analysis, it's that presence of God that gives us what we need to overcome any pain and suffering and loss and worry and concern that you might be experiencing this morning. But as always, there's a deeper level here. Notice the plural. Jesus teaches us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. It's never just about me. It's never just about you. The gospel and the message of the Bible is always about us and the community and about the kingdom. A little quote from N.T. Wright's book, The Lord's Prayer, which I'm using as a basis for many of these meditations. The Greek here is tricky, but Matthew's version seems to mean, give us today our bread for tomorrow. Give us today our bread for tomorrow. Apparently, the Greek in Matthew is a little different than the Greek in Luke. Matthew, in line with Jesus' whole agenda, means, give us here and now the bread of life, which is promised for the great tomorrow. Give us, in other words, the blessings of the coming kingdom right now. And that actually started to happen in Jesus' time. When Jesus went around, he healed, he raised the dead, he cast out demons, he forgave sins, he calmed the storm, he spoke peace and liberation of the captive, the poor, and the oppressed. He spent his time with the marginalized. The presence of the kingdom of God was right there. Tomorrow had come into today. And that continues through the work of the Holy Spirit in us and in the church. The church as colony, the outpost of the people of God, the place where you can see the back of empire being broken and the kingdom of God in righteousness and justice coming in. So this bread, this hunger, this thirst is not primarily or only, I maybe better say only, about the provision of daily needs. It's about the work of the kingdom and the sustenance we all need to carry that out. On the way to the promised land, in the wilderness, the daily manna to live out the kingdom in our time and our place. When we pray that God would give us our daily bread, we certainly mean our personal daily needs, the needs of life, but we mean more than that. Give us what we need to build your kingdom, to be your people, to not follow the way of the empire, but to follow the way of the kingdom. This week I heard an interview with the astronaut Scott Kelly. Scott Kelly is a former NASA astronaut who is best known for spending nearly a year on the International Space Station. He spent in total 520 days in space, which puts him on the list of Americans who spent the most time in space. And I'll note just for your interest, the person who has spent the most time in space, at least American, is Peggy Whitson, who now is 60 years old. I believe she's retired. But she spent 665 days total in space. And Scott Kelly was asked, how can you survive? How can you thrive for so long in such a small place, the International Space Station, for 365 days? And his answer was, you need to have a goal. You need to have a mission. You need to have a reason to do it. And the reason for us to move and to grow and to thrive and to love and to care for others is because God has called us to do the work of his kingdom. And along the way, he gives us the daily bread, his Holy Spirit, his word, each other, so that we can do that. As we come in a moment to the sacrament of communion, we literally take that bread and we drink that cup and we are sustained for the journey, our physical journey, the things we actually need every day, but also the journey of the kingdom through the wilderness to the promised land. And we're sustained even in this time of COVID-19, with all its confusion and uncertainty, just like Israel was sustained 40 years long in the wilderness with every day bread and meat and water. And as it says later, their shoes never even wore out.